Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and our hearts that we may love. Amen. At the Kennedy Space Center, we experienced what it is like to blast off in a rocket. Loud, bumpy, lots of shaking and noise. The flesh on your cheeks feel like it's going to rip off. Then the quiet. The roof of the space capsule opens and you see stars, gazillion stars. Quiet and wonder. Go if you can. Allow this wonder to infuse your life. Space offers a clean slate, just as the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us a clean slate for living full lives. Just think about it. Space provides humankind with an opportunity to start again on a new frontier, a chance to live with each other peacefully. Forays into space have already given us new technologies, spin-offs, they call them, computers, freeze-dried foods, weather study predictions, satellite communications, mind-blowing medical advances, and of course, those all-important smaller conveniences like flat-screen TVs and radiation-blocking sunglasses. Space is a new canvas, a chance for humankind to repent, to bring the best forward, and to start again. Well, all of today's scripture readings offer a blank canvas on which to navigate how we live as Christians in a contrary world. God, the great I Am in the reading from Exodus, sends Moses forth to liberate the people of Israel. The Apostle Paul urges the Corinthians to unburden themselves from evil ways so as to be able to live into the freedom of Christ. And today's gospel, we may not recognize it at first, but today's gospel opens us to the everlasting goodness of God. Well, there's a tradition in the African American church for owning the goodness of God. It goes like this. I say, God is good. You say, all the time. I say, all the time. You say, God is good. Got it? God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Yes. All the time, when we are down or wandering or struggling or searching, God is showering goodness in our lives. God is seeking the best for us. And we can tease the message of God's ongoing goodness from the gospel. Fellow Galileans, Jesus's townspeople, are confronting Jesus about horrible injustices. Pilate, the evil Roman governor, had sent his soldiers into the temple, killing worshipers and mingling their blood with the blood of the soldiers and the blood of lambs sacrificed on the altar. An abomination. Jesus responds, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they are worse sinners than other Galileans?" Or what about the tragedy of the Tower of Siloam that killed 18 people 9/11 comes to mind. Jesus asks, "Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem?" Jesus is giving voice to a line of thought expressed in some human scriptures that there is a connection between human suffering and punishment. Now, let's face it, we still encounter this kind of uninformed logic that God is punishing us because we fall short, because we did something wrong. Often, God is blamed for self-imposed misfortune. So observe, please, how Jesus responds to this very human paradox of suffering and punishment. Jesus does not get down in the mud with those who have done wrong. Honestly, we don't even know if these injustices actually happened. Instead, Jesus turns the conversation to the individual asking for repentance. "Unless you repent, you will perish just as they did," he says. Challenging words, even in the season of Lent. By demanding repentance, Jesus is moving the people towards liberation, towards freedom, to transformation. Jesus is moving the people into the arms of a merciful God, to a God that is always good. This is what Jesus is getting at with the example of the fig tree. It hadn't borne fruit in 3 years. And surely we can identify for the man's desire for a quick fix and to cut it down. But the gardener says, "Wait. Be merciful. Give it time. Work on it. Feed it. Cultivate it. Give it time to live into the goodness that God intends for all." So, you may be wondering, how do we know the goodness of God? In the classic book, Weeds Among the Wheat, Thomas Green, a learned Jesuit priest, defines God's goodness as consolation. Consolation. Consolation, he described, is characterized by joy, peace, and increase in faith, in hope, and in love. Father Green contrasts consolation, God's goodness, with desolation. Desolation being described as restfulness, sadness, discouragement, quiet desperation. This esteemed author proposes that one purpose of desolation may be to wake us up to the goodness of God. Like the space mission that offers all things new, we as Christians continue to offer a new way of being in an increasingly contentious world. For Christians are on a mission too, a mission bestowed to us in baptism to share the mercy and goodness of God through Jesus Christ. Do we have all the answers? No. But we live hopefully in the mystery of Christ died and risen so that we may all see God's goodness. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, "God is faithful, and God will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out that you may be able to endure it. And may this be our prayer, that as we experience the inevitable bumps in the road of life, our spirits do not rest in discouragement, but seek God's enduring goodness, a goodness greater than the vastness of any space we might imagine.